Can you hear me, George? Hello? Uh-oh.
Yes,
No,
I
you
can
hear
hear
me,
you,
George?
Michel.
You're coming in nice and clear. We're hearing you. Okay, very good. Yes. Great. I'm part of university relations team at Google, and I'm in particular taking care of activities with MOOCs in Europe. And as such, I've been following up pretty closely what the what we're doing with MOOCs inside and outside of Google. So what I'm going to show you today is actually a little bit of how we came to MOOC, what we are doing internally, what we are doing with users, and what we're doing with partners as well. We came to MOOCs through people like Peter Norvig, who is director of research at Google, who was at some point of time one of the pioneers of MOOCs, and especially with his artificial intelligence course that he started with Sebastian Schrum end of 2011. And then we also could see the start of Udacity, Coursera, later edX. And at the same time, we had also a significant internal needs for online education, because we have a large population of engineers, several thousand sometimes at the same time, which need to learn about various technologies or soft skills. And that's why we actually built our own tool, which is called Google Course Builder. And here I have put the website where you can find Course Builder. It was launched in summer 2012 in the US and in September in Europe. And we actually gave this as a free resources to people wishing to build MOOCs based on an open source package. We actually did. We are still giving the code on one hand, and also instructions how to use it. And on the other hand, we also have on our website a lot of content regarding to instruction design. Since then, we have many partners who published MOOCs. You have here the list of the MOOCs URL, and I have to say that we have a considerable diversity of MOOCs. Our first astonishment or surprise, a good surprise, was that more than 50% of MOOCs are published in humanities and business. In the beginning, of course, MOOCs were launched by CS, computer science people, but quickly people in humanities and business found value in using them, and we have seen a very large proportion of these disciplines shown in the MOOCs launched. We have seen MOOCs launched by higher education organizations, of course, but also by other organizations, either research or teaching organizations, charitable organizations, and sometimes also corporation. Course Builder went a good way, and in September 2013, we concluded some discussion with edX to actually join forces on the open source side and to partner with edX on open edX. Our approach has been to have an experimental approach in terms of the platform, the audience, and the partnerships. We have been pursuing a strategy where we have three interests. The first interest is internal courses. The second interest is tools, Google tools for users, and the third one, partnerships. And for internal courses based on Course Builder, As I mentioned before, we had a very large engineering and non-engineering population of employees, which need to be trained on a regular basis for new technologies, but also soft skills, business skills. And sometimes the numbers are significant, and with face-to-face learning and tours of instructors or trainers, it just doesn't scale up. So for this reason, we have many internal courses which are based on course building, many MOOCs internally. The most probably sophisticated one has been the Google Machine Learning class, which will be presented by my colleague Jack de Haan in another session. But I'd like to say that it's a great example of how far we could go with MOOCs in terms of training people, but also having simulation environments and opportunities for people to actually do stuff once in the class, run some machine learning programs on real data and see what happens. Many other internal courses across the company, of course, engineering courses, especially in computer science, their languages, for example, or software engineering tools, which are published on a very regular basis, on a fast basis as well. And for this reason, if we need to have hundreds of people trained on one of these tools, MOOCs is a great way to do this, and we have been using this. Also for soft skills, such as business fundamentals or skills to prepare presentations and stuff like this. So we have tens of courses, and certainly this can be of interest for people who are looking for using this inside corporations. Then we have launched many courses for users. The first one was Power Searching with Google, version 1, which was launched in late spring 2013, 1 year ago. And this course is still on, and it's a course which is teaching how to better use search with all the options, with all the possibilities that you have with search. Searching images, searching in domains such as .edu or .com or other, searching according to various filters, parameters, etc. We enjoyed 154,000 attendees on version 1, and then we launched version 2 later in the year, and we had 124,000 attendees. And we were very pleased with this, frightened as well, because we were really looking towards pleasing the user, and in the very first MOOCs we didn't have much feedback from the users, but in the next ones we actually asked for it. We also launched other courses such as Advanced Power Searching, which is really about some more sophisticated features of search, Mapping with Google, which is about Google Maps and Google Earth, YouTube Creator Academy, which is teaching how to use YouTube, upload videos, and use the tool the best way possibly. Web Accessibility, which is about navigation and also web design for in order for people who have problems seeing to better access web pages. And also a series of courses such as e-marketing, analytics, AdSense. We also have one on AdWords. And more recently, Making Sense of Data, which is teaching people how to use Fusion Table and do reports out of data. In total, we got about 500,000 attendees. And of course, we got trapped by the infamous so-called dropout rate, and we had our 10% as usual, 10% of people completing the course. But we very fast saw that this was not an appropriate measurement. I mean, if you take a course like Mapping with Google, For example, you have two parts. You have Google Maps and Google Earth. And some people came to the course with the clear goal of learning about Google Earth, and they knew already about Google Maps. And of course, these people would be considered as dropout, while they clearly achieved their goals. And what we did for many courses, actually two-thirds of them, is that we asked people upfront what they wanted. Do you want to complete the course? Do you want to get the certificate? Do you want just to learn with a couple of modules? Do you want to see a MOOC? And then at the end of their sessions, we asked them if they fulfilled their goal. And what we found out is that more than 50% expressed satisfaction in achieving their goals. So this was a really an eye-opening fact for us. And we, my colleagues from the course builder team, published on this. So you can see some URLs here for these different MOOCs, and certainly go there and see this. About the learning that we got out of this experiment, you have also the last URL on this slide, which is telling many of the findings we had. So we got encouraged by the fact that people have been using MOOCs for various purposes, sometimes point purposes or more elaborated ones, but certainly the very large number of satisfied people has been a strong encouragement. We also launched a series of courses called, and it's one part of our partnership, Google for Education courses, which are for teachers, in order for them to better use some of the Google tools, or even better learn about internet. You can see here some of the courses, which are self-paced and which have been pretty successful, especially in the US. This is what we have been doing. In terms of the partnerships, our third goal, we have been enjoying a very lively community of course builder partners, which means organizations or sometimes even individuals downloading Course Builder and building their MOOCs based on this. We have a vibrant community. Many of them have contributed to the open source stack. Many of them are doing experiments, either with simulations, social networking, or sometimes measuring success or certificates or other, or all sorts of experiments. We believe that it's very important to continue experimenting a lot, because there is still a strong learning curve which is ongoing here. And also with our partnership with edX, we have been using some of the X blocks now in Course Builder, and we work with them a lot for the next open edX versions. So this is basically what we have been doing with MOOCs. Again, a very encouraging technology for different purposes, internal education for engineers and other professionals, also training of the users of our products, search, maps, YouTube, etc., and partnership with institutions, public and private, using MOOCs in various venues and for various topics as well. Okay, so now I'm open for questions.
Well, thanks for the quick introduction to some of the things that you're doing. And I found interesting personally the similarity between your experience with completion rates and the experiences that we see in regular academic-oriented MOOCs. So you seem to have very similar numbers, but as you noted, it's not something that you've necessarily viewed as being a significant factor or that has a big impact or even a significant value point. I'm wondering if you could, you mentioned several of your partnerships, so I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about your partnership with edX. tracks, or if you can provide any type of an update on that, because I recall that coming out last year, and I haven't heard much from it since. Is that still something on the go, or where do things stand with that currently?
Yeah, we have been very very busy with edX on the software side. I mentioned earlier that we have now X blocks in Course Builder, but also there is work ongoing for using Hangouts and using various tools together. We meet on a regular basis, and really we're looking for towards this common open source stack. It's taking time. But we have some significant milestones already achieved. We exchange a lot about our partners, and certainly we share the common value that an open source, a strong open source solution, is important for this. We recognize that the needs and the value of commercial solutions, commercial verticals. But having one open source alternative is important.
Yeah, George, if I may, more of a comment than a question. So
great. Now I just actually have a similar question. This one just asked.
Just from.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
So just more of a comment, but. It is true that at least today, an organization that says it does not want to give its content to a MOOC platform and wants to own its courses, own its MOOCs, and sort of self-manage its MOOCs. There are basically three ways to do it. There's, you know, there is the, you can build your own, or you can use one of two open source products. One is OpenEdX and the other is Google Course Builder. And from, you know, the palette of choices, I guess you could add Moodle, as long as you don't really need scale to that mix. But there's a fairly limited, sort of array of choices for an organization that does not want to be handing over its content and really wants to own its data and as well as the learner's data.
Yeah, and I think that'll certainly continue to increase going forward. And even then, there's some activity that has been initiated with more of an informal build your own MOOC approach. And there's some activity that different systems have taken on. The software that Stephen Downes developed early on for aggregating software or aggregating blog posts. There's the use of the various WordPress platforms and plugins that can serve as a MOOC infrastructure as well. There's some work that Jim Groom has been leading on reclaiming your own domain, or claiming your own domain, if you will. And so there are a number of options from either using an existing provider, using a cloud-based service. We've run MOOCs on Canvas, which is just hosted exclusively in the cloud. So the options are certainly growing, and I think that's a interesting development. So going back, Michelle, to some of the things you've done with Google, you've got a range of courses that you've offered. What are you finding to be the biggest organizational benefit for the different MOOCs that you've run?
So we can actually teach a much larger number of people much faster than any time before. The numbers are completely different, you know. If you think about, let's say, you want to teach people an advanced Python course or something related to your own infrastructure. So if you have a face-to-face classroom, you can probably have 20, 30 people, and then it gets a bit more difficult, especially if you want people to be hands-on and stuff. If you do it online, of course, you know the numbers, you can scale up dramatically, which means that for the same instructor, you can actually address many, many more students than with a roadshow and with all the travel constraints as well. So I think there is a tremendous upside for a company to do internal training using MOOCs. I didn't even talk about cost, but there is certainly also here a significant value to organize a part of the training using MOOCs here. So I think the reach, the ability to teach fast as well, and ultimately the cost are really difficult to resist.
Have you done any costing work on what your expenses for designing and running a MOOC? So let's say you did, Internet 101 or Google Apps for Education. There's a range of different courses that you've run that help you connect with your customer base. How much does that cost you on average to put together and run a MOOC, or have you not gone through the costing exercise?
We have not gone through the cost exercise. Some of our partners have gone through it because they are in places or universities which got either more or less funding, or who devoted more or less money to building a MOOC. So we have some partners who did MOOCs with very little money, with a couple of postdocs or graduate students, a part-time professor, and they would take a webcam and just go for it. And this course are successful today. And we have people who have very sophisticated rooms where video is captured. Also, they do considerable work on the audio, on the simulation environments, etc. And so, in a nutshell, I've seen people building a MOOC for as little as $5,000, I would say, and scaling up to in the multi hundreds of thousands sometimes, depending on how sophisticated you want to be. And which audience also you're targeting, because it's also a question of audience. On one hand, if you do MOOCs for a fee, or if people are investing significant amount of their time, their sometimes money as well, and they have expectations, then of course the product has to be really polished and possibly more expensive. If you do a MOOC for citizens, for example, some of the MOOCs on entrepreneurship, which are happening in Spain or in Germany or in other countries, well, these are for the citizens who didn't have the opportunity to go to a course at the university and would like to learn this in the evening or during the day. And there, of course, you want to do a good job, but you don't have this sort of high-scale video requirements or stuff like this.
Now, in terms of MOOCs, so the scale is a big aspect, and you've referenced that there are some big opportunities there, and certainly some economy of scale, quite literally, to provide an introduction to more of your users to your products and services in this format, and imagine internal development as well. So going forward, what kind of innovation would you like to see with MOOCs that we're not seeing now? Because much of what we see currently is sort of traditional lecture video format, some threaded discussions, and text-based interaction. But is there something that you've seen or that you've been thinking about with MOOCs that you think holds some exciting possibility for corporate application going forward?
Yes, there are many, actually. There are many, and some of them are more advanced than others. The first one I'm thinking about is simulation. So we have seen, for example, in some MOOCs, in some of the first MOOCs of Udacity, Computer Science 101 or 212, you have a window and then you can experiment programming in this window, and you do your code, and then the system will tell you whether the code is correct. You can see the results and alternatives and stuff like this. So this is simulation for learning how to program. But you can think about many other simulations. I've seen one in an energy course on energy as well, where you had a system and do some inputs. But you can think about business simulations, like in the business schools, or simulations in chemistry, in physics, in lots of different disciplines, where people could actually practice online. So, of course, some of this simulations are more difficult to realize, to put together than other, but we believe that also maybe the gaming industry can help there. You know, people who are programming games have probably great ideas on how to achieve this. So that's one area. The second area has been in social networking inside the MOOC. We have seen many experiments, and we believe there are still many other to be done to understand what's going on. For example, there is an excellent MOOC of Indiana University, Ivy MOOC on information visualization. And they ask people to actually form small teams of four or five students and do a little project together, you know, visualize some graphics and data. And that's very that's a very good solution. Also interesting to watch. Then you have people like at EPFL in Lausanne who are putting students together to actually learn and doing activities together in groups of two, three, sometimes more. In University of Alicante in Spain, you have people trying to group. It's a MOOC on entrepreneurship, so they are trying to group the attendees by topics and have them talk together. For example, people who are interested in opening a small business in service or in food or in transportation or other things, they can be together and experiment some discussion. So the social networking side is also an area which has many ongoing experiments and which could have more. Of course, we are interested in the spectrum of certificates, which means on one hand, if you go to the university and attend the, or to the corporation and attend the course, you get a certificate, a paper. If you buy the book, a library, or if you just watch the YouTube video, you don't get anything. But in between, we believe there are many things that can be. You know, I just saw the announcement from Udacity about the nano certificate, and that's a very interesting development. But one could see about small credits or something, both for high ed, but also for corporate education. So that's also an area which is very interesting. And then we just touched with Hangouts and with Hangouts on Air, and sometimes with events like this, the interactions over video. But here is also an area that needs to be better understood, and where many people could contribute as well. So many areas, and last but not least, all the understanding of how people use MOOCs. You know, we talked about dropout rates and the different patterns of people choosing their goals, but we're just at the beginning of trying to understand this.
Great. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to join us today and giving us a good overview and some provocative thoughts on how things are being used in a Google context and some of the experiences that you're having. I'm going to briefly, just to, as we start wrapping up here, I just want to highlight the area for interaction and discussion. So if you look at bmoocs.corpu.com, this is sort of where you can extend the conversation or continue the conversation, ask specific questions if you are interested in continuing. So please join that site or dive in and get involved in the conversation there. If some of you are interested, this is more with an academic focus, but we released just last week the MOOC Research Initiative that was funded by the Gates Foundation. So there's a series of reports that have been posted, as well as a large number of interviews from different individuals involved in various aspects of MOOCs and MOOC activity. So feel free to dive in and have a look at some of the resources on that site. We unfortunately don't have something comparable in the corporate sector yet, but I imagine going forward, that's going to continue to evolve fairly quickly. So on that note, I'm going to end the recording here, and we will resume again in 29 minutes at the top of the hour. Thank you. And again, Michel, thanks very much for your insightful comments.
Thank you.